Welcome to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. After a Republican-led Michigan House sent some bills through yesterday on teacher tenure, I wanted to get a hold of Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing and get his take on the bills that have passed through and what they mean. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I'm very good, Cheryl. I'm very good.
Very good. What were your thoughts seeing these bills pass through? There was a set of four of them pass through dealing with teacher tenure.
They were teacher tenure, but they had a broader application. There was one bill that was clearly addressing tenure and making some changes to it, what was called reforms, although I think that it's questionable whether the changes made will actually make any change in the way things are done, or maybe even the problems that were highlighted as the supposed reason why we had to do these things. The other bills included changes that would have eliminated and would eliminate if the governor signs them into law, things like last in, first out, which is kind of a time-honored way you reward when you do have to make layoffs. You start with the ones, the folks who have been there the least amount of time, and you reward those who have stuck it out and stayed in your organization for a lengthy period of time. And that would be eliminated under one of those bills. And then another bill makes a substantial change to the Public Employee Relations Act, and essentially, on a lot of issues, eliminates the ability to collectively bargain on those issues. So, pretty substantial changes. I voted against all the bills. I think that there are changes that could be made to the teacher tenure system, and I think that we may see some additional bills roll through that actually address the major issues involved with it in a more thoughtful way.
Do you think there was a problem that needed to be fixed? We'll take one at a time with teacher tenure. Do you think there was a problem in that area?
Well, I think that the problem in that area is not addressed by these bills, because if there's, it seems like recently anyway, when we see changes that are being made that are under so-called reforms involving public employees, management gets off the hook. It's always the blame of the employees. And this is a good example of that. The tenure system really is, it's a pretty tough to get tenure. I mean, you've got to work 4 years, you've got to get your master's degree. I mean, there's some pretty heavy standards, much more than working 90 days in the plant and getting into the union. And it's sort of the same issue results from it, because what it does is it sets up a system then that says, if we're going to get rid of you, we got to give you a hearing and we have to give you a reason. And that reason has to be a legitimate one. When you change tenure, as they did, which they move it to a 5-year vesting period, although they do have some ways that you can get it done earlier through an evaluation system that is not yet part of the law, so it's a non-existent system, then you would say that 5 years is not that much different than 4 years, but because it's based on something that's not yet law, you don't really know what the standards are going to be, for one thing. And again, you got to ask yourself, if you got a bad teacher out there and you have been able to get rid of them really without going through this system within 4 years after they go to work, whose fault is that? I mean, it just seems like management is not doing their job. And, like we've said before, when the baseball team's not performing, you fire the manager, not the team. And so here we're firing the team and not the manager. And I think that that's sort of the wrong-headed way we're approaching this issue.
And nothing addressing or pointing towards any kind of administration is in these bills in terms of and what they're calling reform.
Correct. There's no punishment for the managers who failed to do appropriate evaluation, failed to go ahead and suck it up and get rid of a bad teacher, even a teacher who's been there a long time. One of my colleagues said, well, there's even examples of teachers who've been it's taken a couple of years to get rid of, or over 9 months. And the reality is that if this is somebody who's already been there 15 or 20 years, they should get a full hearing. And maybe it takes a long time, because for one thing, if they're not producing, why are they still there anyway? I mean, that has to be the question, because that person's got to be saying, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything different than I've done for the last 15 years, and you didn't try to fire me before. So how is it suddenly wrong, the things that I'm doing? The other thing that it does, and I think this is the scariest part of these bills, is this last in, first out. It is a, you know, like I say, it's a kind of a time-honored way of approaching layoffs, but it also is a protection for the employer. Because when you have a, when you just have a system that says, if you've been here a long time, you know, and we have to lay off 15 people and you're not the, the number 15 or 14 or 13 in terms of seniority, you're going to stay, eliminates those arguments and lawsuits. And I think this bill, in of all the bills, this bill is going to produce a bazillion lawsuits. In fact, if I didn't know better, I would say that this was actually pushed by the trial lawyers because they're going to make a fortune off this. Somebody's going to say, I've been laid off because of my age, or I've been laid off because of the salary that I make, or I've been laid off because of the color of my skin. They're always going to have an excuse to bring a lawsuit when they're one of the people being laid off, because you can lay off anybody pursuant to this bill. But you don't have to lay off the people who have the least seniority. You can lay off anyway. You pick and choose if you're management. And I think that there's such a substantial departure from the protections employers and employees had in the past. They're going to rue the day that they passed this one.
But isn't there the flip side that says that it should be on performance, and maybe the new teacher is the best one on the block?
Yeah, it's true that the new teacher may be the best one on the block. You know, the new employee may be the most energetic one. But you're going to always have the argument of, prove it to me. Prove that they're the best employee or the most talented teacher, because they haven't been here long enough to really prove that. I've been here 15 or 20 years, and I've been proving it over and over again. And so I just think that lawsuit after lawsuit will come out of that bill, if it is signed into law by the governor.
Well, and time will tell on that one, of course. The collective bargaining aspect is causing a lot of concern with public employee relations, as you mentioned. Does this look like another, you know, kind of coming in the back door after collective bargaining and unions?
Yes, I think it is. You know, I don't know if I can say that it's always that everything that has happened is directed, you know, in that direction, but when you reduce the number of, negotiable items that can be on the table with an employer, certainly you're undermining collective bargaining. And, you know, while I've supported some things, frankly, you know, I support the idea that you make treatment for autism part of every insurance policy, and that takes that off the collective bargaining table, or treating the mentally ill or mental illness as part of every insurance policy. So that takes it off the collective bargaining table. I'm not saying that nothing can be adjusted, but here what you're doing is you're taking traditional things that have always been at the table, things that relate directly to working conditions and the way people are expected to work and be evaluated, and you're saying no longer can you collectively bargain. This is a trend. The thing that bothers me most about this trend, Cheryl, is that essentially, it makes central government bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, I think it's been amazing at how many pieces of legislation have passed in this session that really sort of gather power towards Lansing, towards state government, as opposed to our local units of government, which includes school districts. And, you know, some of the people in these hearings have said, well, you know, school boards just don't have the talent to negotiate these. Well, you know, frankly, I don't think there's anything that says that anybody in the legislature has the talent to negotiate these then. You know, we've always been citizen-oriented. We've put power into the hands of citizens, and some have greater skills than others. But that's the way our democracy has worked, and these are clearly anti-democratic moves that we're seeing.
Well, and the next step for these is what, for these set of four bills?
They go to the Senate, you know, to an uncertain fate. Actually, I believe there's a Republican senators who intend on introducing some kind of counter bill. It would also be a tenure reform, but as I understand the bill, it's a tenure reform we can all get behind because it reduces the amount of time that these tenure actions can take. It makes it more precise into what can be the subject of these tenure hearings, and so you get a result sooner when you do take action against a teacher, and that's really what people want to get. And so those bills, I think, will be introduced, and I understand that the Senate intends on moving those.
Well, we'll
see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like there's still some changes and adjustments that could be made.
Correct. That's very true.
Very good. Well, as always, sir, thank you very much for your time, and have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.